Burn my retinas. Ah!
That's the magic of a ghost pin light.
Yay, technology.
Yay! It's ghosticles time.
It is!
It's mostly ghosty, toasty, toasty.
Ghosticles 53? Really?
53 ghosticles so far.
That's a lot of
as of the end of that's a lot of people sending us awesome fucking stories.
That's fucking great is what that is.
So thank you guys for sending in your stories.
I mean, that's on average. That's like 100. That's more than 100 stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We usually do 4.
Yeah. So that's like 200 stories. Damn, Jamie.
I know. Thank you guys.
You guys
for
are
providing
awesome.
Us content. That's pretty great.
Hell yes. When Jamie's resident ghost here is not providing us content.
That's true.
Or my father's phone is not providing us content. Has not happened since.
It's not happened since. Yeah. So what did you find out?
So what I found out is my dad has an iPhone, and if you it's programmed, unless you go in and
deprogram
it? Physically change your settings. It comes prepackaged so that if you hit the power button like 5 or like a set number of times fast, like rapidly, it'll automatically call 911 for you. And that's what it did. But it still went dark for no reason while he was watching a video. And I read a tweet today that someone said they were listening to this episode and their phone went dark for no reason.
Oh no!
And I was like, don't call 911 unless you need it.
I think it's still the coincidence.
It's still the coincidence was very strong. Because of all the things.
We were very present to all the stories being told as well.
At that moment. At that fucking moment. All the times for my dad to have something go wrong with his phone and to like just click it enough times. So his phone called 911 because it's programmed to do it. But
the timing was.
I'm just glad he wasn't a ghost.
Me too. Everyone is.
God, when my dad's a ghost, he's going to be just impossible.
As opposed to...
No, it'll be like now, but except he'll be able to go places.
Gotcha.
He won't. He doesn't. My dad is perfectly ambulatory. He just doesn't like to do stuff.
Right.
He just likes to sit in his Barco lounger.
I like that you said ambulatory. Harkens back to what we were talking about.
I like big words, and I cannot lie.
I know. we've had a little more activity in the house.
Yes, you have.
The other day, Dexter. We have this gate that we put. It's flexible. It's not one of the ones that is a suspension gate. You can just kind of fold it around.
It's almost like a room divider, but it's tiny.
But little dogs. And the dogs are well enough behaved that for the most part, they don't push it out of the way. We're still working on that with Gus. He's like, what is this? Get this shit out of my face. I'll just push it right out of the way.
He's like, I'm a Frenchie. Fuck this.
Yeah. So, but the Bostons are really good about behaving. And with the Leela does what she wants. She chewed her way through and somehow blind chewed her way through and opened a suspension gate.
The smallest of all your dogs.
The 11-pound.
The tiniest in every respect, except personality.
She has special powers.
She does. She's
She doesn't even have that many teeth, and she chewed through it.
It's true.
It was real weird, but she'll ignore it for the most part. She's like, oh, okay, you don't want me to go here. She'll just bump into it gently and then turn around and bump her way somewhere else. But we usually will put them on the stairs so that they don't run upstairs and get into nonsense. And so we were sitting in the living room. And so our living room is separate from our kitchen and dining and another little sitting area. And so we're watching TV. And Dexter runs to the other room. Now, if you follow us on the Twitter, or no, on Instagram. I posted this on Instagram on mine as well.
Yes.
It's both of the Bostons looking towards the back half of the house at something. And I don't know what it was. Now, keep in mind that this entire time, Dexter was whining about something. And he couldn't see out the front window. That's where the main street is. Mm-hmm. He couldn't see. There was nothing going on out there that would be giving him any, like, anything to bark at or whine at. And he was just whining constantly. And Dot sat there still. And as he walked all over her, normally she will regulate and be like, get the fuck off me. I'm Alpha, you piece of shit. That's normally, that is her
go-to. Not how we do things here, God damn it.
With Dexter. She does not do that with Leela because Leela is Alpha. She's the true Alpha. But Dot's ready. Anyway, so He's just crawling all over her, and she is stuck to that place, frozen. Wow. And he keeps sitting and staring. I mean, they're staring at the scared. Same thing. Just fascinated, focused on it.
They just fixated. What's weird?
It was very, very strange. Mm. And there, if there was a squirrel or something in the backyard, they would have gone after it through the window. Like, they would have barked at it through the window and run into the other room. Oof. There was no divider knocking them away. They could have gone in at any time. And it was just very, very strange. And Dexter continued to whine back by the couch like he wanted to go in the other room, but mm-hmm. couldn't. And he did that for probably, yeah, half an hour, I would say. It was very, very unnerving.
Yeah, and it's of course, not I was characteristic by myself. Of him.
No, no. And I texted you, and I was like, mm-hmm. What are they looking at? And they're like, you said something about them following my spirit. And I was like, why is my spirit not sitting with like, me on the couch?
I was like, maybe they're just picking up on your energy. And you're like, why is my energy in the other room?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah. And I sent it to Jack, too. He was gone, and he came back, and we were having dinner or whatever. We were watching TV. And so... all of a sudden, Dexter just jumps down and runs to the other room, and you hear him go up the stairs. And the stairs are right behind the wall that the sofa's on where we watch TV. So if somebody goes up the stairs, it's extremely noticeable. You know that somebody's going up the stairs, even if it's one of the dogs. They don't creak, they thunk. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like thunk, 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 thunk.
Yeah.
And so, especially Dexter, he is not a Lightfoot. And I was like, oh, shit. I put that gate in front of the stairs. I thought I did. And he went up the stairs. And then I was like, fuck, I bet he didn't. And that we just heard something else.
Ooh.
So Jack got up to go look, and the gate was still there. And Dexter had gone to get water and was coming back in.
Ooh.
No clue what was on the stairs. And then last night, Ooh. Our door opened to let Leela out, the bedroom door. She was in there locked mm-hmm. with us. And the door just opened. I like was in the restroom, came out. And the closed door, Jack did not touch it, the closed door was open. And she was just going down the stairs because she had other things that she had to do, apparently.
She's like,
and I was like,
maybe she
did it. She is kind of a ninja.
She's got magical powers.
She does have magical powers.
She's just telepathically moving gates, doors,
right.
all of it.
So it could be her she's responsible astral, for everything.
She's astral projecting.
That's what.
So that she yeah. likes to just, when she wants some peace and quiet, she'll keep the other dogs fixated by like dancing her spirit in front of them while she's in the other room.
Maybe.
Enjoying a meal. I don't know.
It could be possible. I don't know. It's possible. I know
like that
she doesn't make the noise going up the stairs because she is
she's
too slow.
And she's too so slow. And actually, yeah.
yeah. She goes up and down those stairs by herself, though. Don't tell her she can't do it just because she's blind. So those are the fun things that have happened in the
Woo!
House. If you guys have shit like that, please send it in. And if you want mine, you can have her. No offense. Okay.
Are you starting? Shall I start
this
off?
It was a joke. Oh, yeah, you start.
Yeah. All right. God, let's see. Mercury's in so retrograde. I'm so out of it. So this is from Morgan.
Morgan. Hello, Morgan.
Old listener. I'm back. Says Morgan. First things first, I died listening to you guys read my story. I'm glad you both enjoyed it so much. Also, about the sleep mask. I can't wear them anymore because of the shadow being. Also,
that's good. You shouldn't. It's creepy.
They're gross. I hate them. also, all the horror movies I've seen probably don't help much either. Now, I promise spooky stories from being in the medical field, and I know Jamie loves this shit.
I do.
I love it too, Morgan. I worked as a receptionist for about 2.5 years. At 5 different offices before I transferred to central scheduling. Out of those 5, 3 had spooky happenings, and of fucking course, my home office had the most. The only reason I even went to others was for coverage for helping, so I didn't stay too long in any one of those locations, thank God. I'll split each office into the town they were stationed in and give you a rundown on the spooky events.
I'm ready.
Let's begin. Worthington, Ohio. This was my home office, my main squeeze. Anyway, my manager had told me that she got bad vibes from this one office across from our in-house lab. I didn't like it much myself. It always gave me this kind of an unwelcoming feeling, even when someone was using it. My manager also never liked being in the building by herself after hours. One of the medical assistants had her name called while walking down a hallway and had a rolling laptop desk shoved at her when it was just a couple feet away. The biggest incident happened 3 to 4 months before I transferred. This included me, our phlebotomist.
Phlebotomist.
Phlebotomist. Yes. Phlebotomy.
They take your blood.
Well, that's a fun word.
Who How? I shall call? I'm so surprised you didn't know that.
I guess I'm not as healthy as I thought I was. I don't know medical terminology very well. I've not been to a doctor as much. This included me, our phlebotomist, who I shall call K, and my fellow receptionist, who I shall call S. S and I were sitting up front. It was after work and all the patients were gone, pretty much leaving us with a skeleton crew. I was playing on my phone when S mentioned going to the back for a minute. Maybe 2 or 3 minutes after she left, I heard whap, whap, whap. I glanced up, looked at the door that separated our area from the rest of the office. It was cracked, but I didn't hear or see anyone walking by. Again, whap, whap, whap. I was confused, waiting for a few moments to see what would happen next, which was nothing.
I like that. I'm just going to chill out. I'm just going to wait.
If they want my attention, they can. I chalked it up to someone hitting paper on a surface or some shit like that. When I went back to my phone, Kay came in with a perturbed look. And turn the page. I need like a little chime sound.
Ding.
That's not from your computer.
Oh, shit. Let me put it on mute.
Aw, damn it. It's still going to go off. I know it is. And
no.
We're gonna be like, but, okay, what's wrong? I asked. She opened her mouth, furrowed her brow, and looked back at the door. Behind the front office were 2 bathrooms, a patient one and a staff one. The patient one, I just hear like, it's a very patient bathroom. It puts up with the most shit.
It will wait as long as you take.
The patient bathroom had a 2-way door for people to place their urine specimens in.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. The little square opening had a door in the patient bathroom and one in the lab, so Kay could just take the specimens without having to walk around. Pointing, she told me that she was doing paperwork. She heard the door in the patient bathroom open and close rapidly. I realized that's what I heard.
You were probably spiritually in the same space she was in that moment. Like, what happened to me?
As we began to panic, my eyes tearing up as I laughed nervously. S came back in. I immediately asked her if she had anything to do with it. She's a known prankster. She denied it, and we still don't know what exactly caused it to this day. Besides, of course, a ghost.
Obviously. I mean, yes.
Powell, Ohio, and Dublin, Ohio. A couple of incidents that occurred at these locations happened to others, thankfully. In Powell, a medical assistant had been working overtime and thus was by herself in the building. She told me that while she was working away, she heard a door closing. Confused, she got up and went to see who was still around, thinking that one of the doctors had stayed behind without her knowing. As she rounded the corner, she caught the sight of a tall, black shape of a man with a hat. Instantly, she had chills and a sick feeling. She was a smart lady because instead of trying to figure out what was going on, she clocked out and grabbed her shit before booking it the hell out of there. I didn't like it much either there. My anxiety was always high, and the lab next door was always dark, too quiet, and too empty. In Dublin, my manager told me that she was in the bathroom one morning and heard something either say, good morning, or her name. She immediately told it to leave her alone because, quote, I'm in no mood for this today, end quote. When she gave me the tour of the office, the very back room immediately gave me chills. It had a bunch of empty exam rooms and was so desolate. She told me that the doctor there liked having the doors open. I guess the spirit didn't, because the first few weeks of him being there, the doors separating the front office area from the back kept closing. His medical assistant and usual receptionist denied ever closing it. I think it stopped for the time being, and I'm happy nothing ever happened while I was there. That's about it. I almost feel like I have some sort of heightened sense or something, because whenever I go to an area with a bad vibe, I get so sick to my stomach. I think that's why I dislike the urn so much. It's like my body knew that it would cause a problem for me later. I've had deja vu dreams where I dream of an event or incident happening, then suddenly it fucking does. I'm not sure if anyone else in my family has this, but I know I'm one of the few who believes in spirits and such. Sorry for the length. No problem, Morgan. It was great.
That's great.
I can't just tell stories with little to no detail. The curse of being a writer, I suppose. I hope you guys have a great one and stay a spooky.
Ew.
Yes.
Good.
I love it.
I do. Oh. I mean, I love them. They're so good. And
so
it makes
good.
Me wonder, because I feel like as a nurse, you know, of any kind, there is an empathy there that you have to have if you're a good nurse.
Well,
right?
Ideally, yeah.
and that, you know, much like other people who practice synergy and empathy and stuff like that, it just makes you more susceptible to it. Also, I get the sick to your stomach thing. My go-to emotional reaction for everything is nausea. Everything. Like, if I'm worried, nauseated. If I'm tired, nauseated.
Well,
too hungry, too full.
you also got to think about like nurses and doctors and like, you know, seeing these apparitions or hearing them or whatever. A lot of people that, you know, die in a hospital or in hospice or whatever, like a nurse is going to be one of the last human beings they see.
Right.
And if they're still around and they're confused, of course they're going to try to get the attention of someone that's working there to be like, excuse me, what? Where's my medicine? Where's this? You know, like, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
But you had a, you gasped when I mentioned the guy with the
black hat, the shadow figure.
The shadow leader, is that what they're like?
Well,
he's usually like he's the alpha of the trio.
Maybe because he's got the hat.
Shadow men that usually appear.
Well, because, there's a lot of shadowy men in hats and, you know, and that's just, it's like, oh, it's so consistent with other stories. I love it.
I don't trust a man in a hat unless it's just for an occasion. A guy that wears a hat all the time, unless it's like just like a, you know, a lazy, like,
ball cap
or something, just to cover a bald spot. I get that. But just like...
Like, if you're not out on the range, motherfucker.
If you're an adult and you're wearing a bowler hat in Walmart.
Shut up and make me a drink. That's what I think.
don't make me a drink.
Well,
don't make me a drink at all. Just
let me be the judge of that.
Take the hat off and welcome to the human race.
Okay.
I'm so judgy.
Next up, we have a story from Kelsey. Hello again.
Hello again, Kelsey.
I just listened to Ghosticles 52 and hearing my story made my week.
Yay.
To start off, yes, I can confirm New Mexico is very spooky, and I have another story from there involving a small airport. But today I bring one from Denton, which I have a plethora of. Okay, so this might be confusing for people who don't know. Denton is in Texas. It's not too far from us.
Yeah, it's very close.
It's not in New Mexico.
And it's haunted as fuck.
Yes. I mean...
But Kelsey lived in Denton for a
time,
right?
Before she was schooled at Denton.
Yeah.
From New Mexico, I believe. Moved to Denton
to go to college, and then, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we begin the first semester of my freshman year in Bruce Hall, which I would end up living in for 2 years. During my entire orientation week, I constantly heard about how haunted Bruce was, but that it was a nice ghost, at least, named Wanda. For the first few months in Bruce, everything seemed fine except my roommate, who would be having parties when I was out of town for fencing tournaments. By November, I wasn't going to as many and spent more time in my dorm than usual. That's when I started noticing things at night, like a cold breeze cutting through the room for a few seconds, or tapping on the window like someone was outside. But the window was too high up for anyone to reach without a ladder, and my roommate kept the blinds open most of the time. One night, I got up to go to the bathroom, which was a pain since Bruce has communal bathrooms. Ugh! I hate that for you. And I had to go a decent way down the hall. That's problematic. I just thought about that. Like, for me today, oh, God. As I was walking down the hall, I saw a faint figure, not pure black or white, but a slight blue hue to it and featureless, peek out of a doorway at the end of the hall. Ooh. I slowed my walking but continued on. It didn't move or anything. It just stayed there, watching me. I went into the bathroom and stood in front of the sink for a minute, thinking if I should have said or done anything. A few minutes later, I started going back to my room and saw the same figure at the other end of the hallway this time, again, looking like it was leaning out of a doorway. I kept eye contact the entire time, and as soon as I was in the process of unlocking my door to go in, the figure shot backwards and the stairwell door opened and then slammed hard. Needless to say, I dove into my room and jumped into my bed and just stared at the ceiling for a few hours before attempting to go to sleep again. The next morning, people in the hall were messaging in the hall group chat if anyone else had heard doors slamming last night, apparently on different floors as well. Curious about this apparently real ghost in Bruce Hall, I decided to do some research on Wanda. The only common thing is that she was a student in the 1950s who lived in Bruce and that she died on the fourth floor near the elevator shaft that was never finished. As to the manner of her demise is where the story splits. The other odd thing is that there never was a resident in Bruce named Wanda, but people who have done some ghost hunting in Bruce figured out that is the name the ghost responds to after calling out to it and occasionally getting a vocal response. Over the course of the 2 years I lived in Bruce, there were several more times of seeing figures at the end of the hall, window tapping, cold spots, and even waking up in the middle of the night like someone was watching me. This year, I moved into a private dorm, but anytime I go to the dining hall in Bruce, I get a faint feeling still of the paranormal. I have plenty of stories about other buildings on the UNT campus that are haunted since the university is literally built right next to a massive Confederate and old Denton graveyard. But once again, stories for another time. Stay spoopy, y'all.
Ooh. UNT, they used to have a radio station, like a jazz radio station that was student run, and their call letters used to be KUNT, and they changed it.
Yeah,
they were like,
sure.
Oh, yeah, never mind. That's going to be like,
terrible.
Like, it, I forget what it is now, but it's a long time ago before right. that. Before that was, that word was generally well known.
Right. Made me think of that. There's a radio station in that's in Sundance Square in Fort Worth, downtown Fort Worth. And it's this old building they took over. And the building is supposed to be incredibly haunted. And I guess from what I've heard, there are a lot of people at the radio station who have lots of ghost stories. It's like a country music station. Maybe we should cover that sometime. It's such a good
KNTU,
story.
KNTU, that's what it's called now.
KNTU?
Yeah, which is much better than KUNT.
Because even if it was KNUT, if you read it, it'd still look like cunt.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said it. Anyway,
yeah.
This is fun.
I ain't afraid.
I'm very uncomfortable right now. So this is from Jill.
Okay.
Jill says, update time. It's update time. These ghosts are up my ass. It's update time.
Love it.
That Ghosticles ditty is catchy.
Thank you.
So the Google Mini hasn't acted up again since my last submission. I haven't seen my breath again since last time, but oh boy, is there a but. Listen to this shit that happened very recently.
Okay.
I was sick in bed. I've been assured it's not coronavirus.
Feel better.
Thank you for your feel better. I mean, what? I said thank. Wow.
Thank you for not having coronavirus in the United States.
Yeah, thank you. That would suck.
I think you're, I mean, you may not be from the United States.
If you're going to get coronavirus, you might as well also get Lyme disease. Da-da-da-da-da.
Hey.
Anyway, I was sick in bed. I
get it.
Thank you. I have been assured it's not coronavirus and trying to call my cat over to come snuggle with me. I swear she was a dog in her past life because she comes when called, loves cuddling, and fetches. Well, she
I had
came
a cat
over.
Like that. Her yeah. name was Kathy Kitten.
I had a cat like that once. She was a dog. Well, she came over and snuggled with me for a bit until I heard one of her toys hit the floor. She bolted after it. I just assumed the fan and air circulation had won against the very lightweight fabric stuffed mouse toy on the table and knocked it over, so I didn't pay any mind. She ran up to me ready to play, dropping her toy at my hand to throw it. This went on for about 5 minutes, which is way shorter than usual, and suddenly she was gone. Normally, I'd let her be, but I was sick. My girlfriend was at work, and I'm a needy bitch. So I did the tongue-clicking thing that people do to call their pets when you open the side of your lips and press your tongue to the roof of your mouth and pull it away very quickly. What?
Yeah, it's this.
Oh, clucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Clucking.
It's clicking. So you do that whenever you're like, we're agreeing on something. It's like a, you're like, that's a handshake for you. You're like,
yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I do. I do,
you
that.
Do. And then I'll do it to call the dogs, but we had horses, and we don't. That was the way we called the horses.
Oh, that makes sense. I always make kissy sounds to call my pets. I was like,
yeah,
that's what I do.
Then every once in a while, my mom would click at us, and we were like, no, ma'am. No, Susan. We will not.
Does she
be called...
rattle your food? Right. To call you for dinner.
It's like, you better stop that, Susan.
Anyway, so
yeah,
I...
Yeah, you're not weird. That's normal.
She's like, yeah, hope I just did not myself as weird. You didn't.
No, you're fine.
My cat, Ebony, is a full black cat. I'm such a pagan witch stereotype. So I assumed she was probably in the corner somewhere. I waited and did it again. And just as I was about to give up and just go to sleep, I heard that clicking right by my ear.
No.
I'm sure Michael is going to advocate for the ghost here about also wanting to play or something. Maybe.
She needed to sleep.
But I didn't stay in bed long enough to find out. I walked my sickly ass to the cold front room and waited for my girlfriend to get home and watched my cat stare at the doorway I left open. Because no way in hell am I letting this ghost open doors on me next.
Right.
We'll keep in touch if anything else happens, but if they're not doing my dishes but still feel entitled to bug me, then I'm going to be complaining about it.
I
get
that's
that.
Fair.
That's real. That's real. I get that's that.
Very fair.
I get that. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If it had happened to me, I don't know. I kind of always want to goad the the ghost or whatever it is to do more. I'm like, all right, let's do more, do more. That was really cool. Yeah. Do the roar.
Right. But I roar. Feel like that's better when I'm not, I don't want anybody doing anything when I'm trying to sleep.
That's true.
Yeah, that's not.
That's true.
I don't like it. I don't, yeah.
I'd be like the woman in that meme. I would like, if the ghost woke me up, I would just get like frying pans and shit and start banging them around and be like, I ain't get no sleep because of you. Y'all ain't get no sleep because of me. Like, right. Like, I'd be like, fuck you, ghost. I hope you're not trying to nap.
Yeah, because it's important. Sleep is important. And mm-hmm. I might get irritable. Less scared and more just
fucking angry. Same.
Just angry.
And be like, fuck you, ghost.
And then Jack would laugh at me.
You're okay. Right. You better be dead.
Last but not least, we have Felicity. Ah, that's how it starts. Okay, so I just listened to entry episode, I don't know what to call them, 61 of Ghoul Intentions, where you had a few stories about Ted Bundy. And oh, you said yep, to yep, send yep, in yep, any yep, stories yep, about yep, serial yep. killers.
Oh, shit, yes.
So
oh, my God, yes. This is giving me life right now.
Okay, now this isn't about Ted, but this is a story I've been told since I was very young about a serial killer and an unseen friend. Uh-oh. When my grandma, who is now in her 60s, was in grade school, she would have to walk to and from schools most days, probably uphills both ways, I'm assuming.
She once killed a grizzly bear with her loose leaf notebook.
That's right.
In 5 feet of snow.
Something like that. One day while she was at school, her teacher notified them all to go directly home once the day was over and not to walk alone due to a killer on loose in her town who liked to go after little kids. I don't know how many victims this dude had at this point, but it was enough to red flag him. Also interesting, like that's back in the day when the school would be like, make sure you walk home with somebody. And it's not like parents helicoptering around being like, there's somebody that's going to kill you. I'm going to pick you up.
Yeah, parents didn't helicopter as much back then.
No.
Yeah. 60 years ago. Or like, just, I guess 50, 60 years ago.
Just stand up straight. You'll be fine.
Just put on a little lipstick.
You'll be good. My grandma lived on a farm ranch land the opposite direction as most other kids and was not able to ask anyone to walk with her that day. So she set off on her own. She had to walk down this little path that went over a river. As she neared the river, she noticed this guy standing by the bridge. She started to get this awful feeling from the dude. Something just felt off. And it's not like she could have chosen another path. This was the only bridge that would take her home. So like, she
you
continued.
You must answer me these three questions. No.
So she continued to the bridge, giving the guy some space as she passed him, not making eye contact. But as she passed, this guy was staring at her with a look that could only be described as pure hatred and anger, though he did not make any attempt to move towards her. My grandma hurried home after that, feeling very creeped out and not wanting to see what he might do. A few days later, she saw that the police had caught the killer, and being curious, she went down to see what he looked like. To her surprise and terror, it was the guy by the bridge. She, feeling brave, walked up and asked him why he didn't kill her that day, that she saw him by the bridge. He looks at her with confusion and disgust. What he said has stuck with my grandma her whole life. Are you kidding me? You think I was going to be dumb enough to try anything when you had that big guy with you?
What?
That's all. What? That's all he said before the cops made him shut up and they moved my grandma away from him. But she didn't understand. She walked alone that night, and she definitely didn't see anyone, let alone someone large enough to scare off a killer. To this day, she swears it was a guardian angel by her side. But my grandma is also the one who often saw the still moaning body of an old farmer who hanged himself from the rafters of the barn many years before my family got the land. No one else ever saw him, or at least admitted to it. And when she would mention the man needing help, her family would call her crazy and brush it off. She stopped mentioning the old man or anything else she saw after that and will now deny that she ever saw the farmer as to not make her seem crazy. Oh, that's sad. Okay,
that's
well,
sad.
Those are the two big stories from Grandma. I don't know the name of the killer or the town she was in when this happened, or I would have given a little more info on the subject. I have plenty more stories from my family, personal experiences, and ghost stories from old abandoned mine town I used to live in. So if you want to hear those, too. Yes.
Yes, stories about abandoned mines.
Keep up the amazing work, and thank you for all that you do. It really makes the stress of life a bit more manageable when I listen to the podcast. Yay! Yay. Have a spooktacular day and creep it real.
I love it.
That is, like, grandparents are such a fountain of information. Please ask your grandparents about hauntings and spooky things.
And serial killers.
And serial killers. Yeah, talk to them.
Well, in my day, we just called them werewolves. or something. Right? Like, my
so
day.
Good. That's so good. And I was thinking, I was like, you know, she goes apparently to the police station to see the guy. But those old police stations, they would just be one room. Like, you could just go in. And mm-hmm. I can imagine a little girl, precocious girl going in and then just yelling at him, why didn't you kill me? You know, but...
Oh my God.
The big guy.
And I can see him like, oh, I'm not going to kill you with someone next to you. And his lawyer's like, shut the fuck up.
Right.
God, Claude. You're not helping
what
your
case.
What if
we find out his name is actually Claude?
And it's like a relative of mine.
Right.
Great.
Perfect.
Great.
Do you have any horrible killers in your family history?
Not yet. Give it
Say
time.
My
thing. He only has the last name Tatum. He's not related to us, but there was not a horrible killer, but he
just like a mild.
No, I mean, he was not like a murderer. he just like he was a football player of in a professional NFL football player, last name Tatum. I cannot remember Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum. I'm gonna go with Jason Tatum.
Okay.
And in the 70s, he broke a man's neck on the field.
Oh,
yeah, and he kind of like. He wasn't, he was like, eh, it's the game. Like,
right.
His whole thing was like, I mean, he knew what he was getting into. Like, he didn't mean to kill the guy, but he wasn't like, he slept just fine.
Yeah.
And so, but that's the only Tatum I know of, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
And there's Sonny Bean. We think, my mom thinks we might be related to Sonny Bean. Do you know who Sonny Bean was?
No.
We've had this discussion before. Jamie, come on.
Just remind
you remember?
Me and then I'll say, oh.
So in Edinburgh, Scotland, in the 17th century, early 17th century, I believe, there was this fucking cave. Basically, a lot of people were going missing from this highway that was on this coastal highway.
Oh, it was the family.
And it was this family. This
yes.
guy named Sonny Bean wanted to marry a blood relative. And the town was like, you can't do that.
Ew.
And so they're like, well, then fuck you. I'm out. So he and his, you know, first cousin or sister or something. I'm not sure what. They were related enough that even the small village was like, no.
Ew.
And so they found a cave outside of Edinburgh, like on the way to Edinburgh.
Right.
That's like that was like miles and miles of winding underground. Caverns.
So now, are you related in like the children of those people? Or
No.
Okay,
we come
good.
From the same village.
Oh, okay.
The furthest back my mom can trace her side of the family is somebody with the last name White, W-H-Y-T-E. And it was weird because it was a village where like after a generation, everyone named themselves White in protest
right.
against the English census. And so they're like, oh, we're all named Ed White. Yeah, this is my wife, Ed White. This is my brother, Ed White. This is our infant daughter, Ed White. You know, or something like that. And
yeah.
so, or John White, rather. And that's kind of as far back as we can go because records, you know. But right around that time, it's the same area that Sonny Bean came from.
Okay.
Around the same time. So,
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, for those of you let me continue the story. So basically, this guy and his sister or cousin, like, had a bunch of kids, and they had
sister,
a bunch
cousin.
Of kids.
Who knows?
Like, all these inbred fucking Scots, like, cannibals that were, like, living in this fucking cave, in the entrance of this cave, like, the main entrance. There were minis, but the main entrance was, like, hidden by high tide for part of the year. So it was a pretty good place to hide. And they would ambush people on the road and kill them and, like, eat them.
Yeah.
And had done it for 20 years or something like that. So, Edinburgh, Scotland, yeah. And we come from the same village.
Oh my gosh, one of your family members could have been eaten by them.
Yeah, or we could be, they could be related.
Yeah. Like, or you could be
Sonny Bean could
cannibals.
Be a distant cousin, yeah.
Ugh.
That would not surprise me. The Tatum family, or not, it's not the Tatum side, it's the Osborne, Beggs, Baskin side, whatever. But there, that's a weird... It's a weird family history. There are a lot of weirdos in my family, I will say
right.
that. And my great-grandfather was one of them. He was a weirdo. He wasn't a murderer. Let me put it this way. If I found out he was one, I wouldn't bat an eye. I'd be
right.
like, of course he was.
Yeah.
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 He's a strange man. Strange man. Not the nicest guy in the world
so
either.
Here's then, okay, if you guys have crazy family mm-hmm. stories... like relatives in your families.
Yes.
We want those stories.
Yes, too. Tell us those stories.
Send those in.
Ooh, yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
I guess until next time, remember,
it's okay to sleep with the lights on.
I have to sneeze. You can take this out.
Yeah.
Yes. Your sneezes give me life.
I'm glad. Okay.
They're cute as fucking sneezes.
Okay.